Warning, the following program is designed for casual wrestling fans and is meant purely for entertainment. If you're SAWFT, proceed at your own risk. Viewer discretion is advised. Brother, I'm going on a wild Hulk Hogan. If I like get some moment, I'll make sure it's an explosion. Cause lately I've been seeing stars, trying to kick her on his choke horse. But it's no hard bar, middle finger like I'm Stone Cold. What is up, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of the Slapping Me Wrestling Podcast. I'm your host, We Too Deep, with the co-host, DJ Wavy D. We're back with another one. We got some crown jewel predictions. We got a good suggestion that Wavy D gave me for Let's Get Cooking. I sent him the script and he said, "Look, man, that one's a little too far out. We'll get to that one. Get that in a little bit
next summer.
let's do something a bit better. So we're going to use his suggestion." And then we'll finish the first round of Thirsty Tuesday. But before all that, as always, we always start the show. Go to the link. Go get you one of these. I mean, this is an outdated NXT title now. They got a new one. They be changing titles every 6 months in NXT now. And so go get you, you know, if you want to buy a title, you want to, you know, eventually when they sell the Crown Jewel Championship for $1,000, you know, go use that link. You want to get yourself a title, some t-shirts, any of that. Link in the description for the WWE shop, as well as if you're planning that trip to Vegas, right? Mm. You got to go to Vegas for WrestleMania, or maybe you're going to MetLife in New Jersey for SummerSlam. Mm. Maybe you're planning that trip to Vancouver for War Games.
What?
Or maybe you just want to go to, I think what's the next, Full Gear or whatever that's at. It's in Long Island or something like that.
Yeet.
You that AEW fan, right? Use our affiliate link and book through Expedia. Very quick process. You can get your flights, rental cars, hotels, all of it at the same time, same place.
What?
But with that, let's dive in. Let's go through this. Let's Get Cooking.
Yeah.
And the prompt is this: you're in control for WWE for 24 hours. You can change whatever you want. And WWE can't change it back. So your changes are solidified. They can't be rechanged. What are you doing in this 24-hour period? We'll start with Wavy D. What you doing if you're in control of WWE?
Me personally, I'm re-signing Samantha Irvin. And, you know, we're going to work out a deal for her to explore outside ventures. You know what I'm saying? But in seriousness, we're bringing back Brock Lesnar, okay? Mm. We're missing some Brock Lesnar. But he's not the first thing I'm doing, all right? The very first thing I'm doing is I'm reorganizing the title picture,
okay?
We can keep the current champions. The current champions, I'm not, like, you know, too crazy about. I'm not too worried about. Our current champions are okay. We'll keep them as they are. But what we're going to do is we're going to change up which champions are which shows.
Okay? Mm.
Now, we're taking the whole women's tag team division and we're putting them on one show. All right? If you want to compete in the women's tag team division, you're going to SmackDown, okay?
Mm.
Or you're going to Raw, one or the other. Also, we're making Raw 3 hours again.
Yes, sir.
Raw 3 hours, SmackDown 3 hours. Both shows are going to be 3 hours. Okay. Now, show A or show B, whatever you want to do, one of them is going to have the women's tag team division, and we're going to have a women's mid-card title. And then the other show is going to have the women's world championship. We don't need two women's world championships, okay? So what we're doing is we're scrapping one of the women's world titles, okay? So just for layout purposes, we'll say Raw, okay? Raw is going to have the women's world champion, okay?
Okay.
That's going to be on Raw. And we're putting the women's tag team division and a mid-card title on SmackDown.
Okay.
This way, you can have your tag team division over there. You can have women who kind of want to branch out and start a singles career. They can branch off and go for the mid-card title. Okay? But we're putting our solidified names on the red brand. So, your Rhea Ripley is on the red brand. Your Charlotte Flair is on the red brand. Your Bianca Belair, Jay Cargill. Guess what? They're giving up the tag team titles. Okay? They're dropping those titles and they're coming to Raw. We're having the best women's wrestlers over on Raw, okay? All we need is one world title. Everyone else, go to SmackDown. The men's world championships. I think it's only right. I think we have enough talent for two titles and we don't want another Roman Reigns situation. We're keeping two men's world titles, okay? I'm sorry to tell you, but we got more top tier men's talent than top tier women's talent. Keeping it a buck, keeping it 100 with you. All right. But we're putting the bloodline on Raw. Okay. We're moving the bloodline to Raw. It's not even like too much of a bloodline story. It's not like it used to be where bloodline took up like a half of SmackDown or a quarter of SmackDown. Right. Let me freeze. WWE Championship, the WWE World Championship is going on Raw. The World Heavyweight title is going on SmackDown, okay? SmackDown is going to be that place where like the wrestling, the everything wrestling happens, and we're making Raw the storyline show. Okay? Just like it was in the early 2000s, okay?
Okay.
Raw storyline, SmackDown is the in-ring talent. That means you're getting your Gunthers over on SmackDown. You're getting your Finn Balors over on SmackDown. You're getting, you know what I'm saying? You're getting your Street Profits over on SmackDown. Your Morrissey Machine Guns, okay? Also, we're keeping the tag team titles the same. One tag team title per show. And then here's where things differ. We're only having one men's mid-card title. So we're scrapping the U.S. title for now. We're keeping the Intercontinental Championship. The Intercontinental title staying on Raw, okay? And what we're doing is we're getting a cruiserweight title and bringing it back to SmackDown. So we're scrapping the U.S. title. We're getting the Cruiserweight title, putting that on SmackDown. All right. And we're going back to brand-specific pay-per-views. Okay?
Okay.
Brand-specific pay-per-views with, like, maybe, like, the Big Four is shared, Money in the Bank is shared, and maybe one other. So that those are my big changes to start off the show, to start off everything. NXT is gonna stay pretty much untouched. NXT is doing just perfectly fine by the way they are. The only thing is, if they have women who want to compete as tag team, you know what I'm saying? Unfortunately, they're not gonna have a tag team division down there. They could do their Dusty Cups and stuff like that, but unfortunately, my NXT is not having a women's tag team division. Just because I don't think women's tag team wrestling is the most popular thing in the world, especially in WWE. So like they're lucky they're keeping it right now. But so just a quick rundown of what I changed. Raw is having the WWE Championship, the Intercontinental Championship, the Women's World Title, and that was it. Oh, and the Raw Tag Team Titles. Going to SmackDown, we're having the World Heavyweight Championship, the Cruiserweight Championship, and the Women's Tag Team Titles. And so, oh, and the Women's Mid-Card Title. So right now, Raw has one less title. If you want to, now, this is a little far out there, you know what I'm saying? If we want to, we can ask the locker room, hey, do any of you women want to sign up to bring back the Divas title? All right? And we'll have, you know, the model types who, you know, want to use WWE as a stepping stone, you know what I'm saying, to do other stuff. We'll put you in the Divas division, okay? Bada bing, bada boom. That's what I'm doing.
All right. So I like a lot of what you did. So I do like the idea of Raw needs to be that 3 hours. We've had about 2-3 weeks now. Actually about a full month.
Yeah.
All of October's been 2 hours, so it's not hitting. There's not enough time to tell stories, especially for the mid card. Especially now that they're getting Bloodline, you know, Jey Uso, Roman Reigns, or Jimmy Uso, the Bloodline, Roman Reigns involved. We're cutting out certain segments of the mid card, you know, PFC. As much as I don't enjoy them on my TV, they just completely scrapped whatever momentum they had, and they haven't been on TV in like 3 weeks. And so certain areas like that. So definitely we're going back to 3 hours for both shows. I think the first thing that I'm doing, and I know we disagree about this, but I like the title structure we have now. I don't change that. I have a difference of opinion. You sort of basically took away titles. I'm adding titles. I don't think there's ever such thing as too many titles in wrestling. As long as there's a clear, defined purpose for the title and they're being used. So I lied. I'm taking away a title. I'm taking away the women's tag team. And I'm taking away one of the tag team divisions. I think tag team wrestling as a whole isn't popular in WWE. They have no use for two men's tag team championships. And so I'll have one of them, and I like your idea of SmackDown being the wrestler show. If you're a fan of wrestling, watch SmackDown type thing. I'll do the same thing. You have the Universal title there. You'll have the U.S. title, you'll have the tag team championship, and then I would add a women's mid-card title as well as the normal women's championship. On Raw, you'll have the World Heavyweight, the women's championship. I would have another women's mid-card over here, and then I like your addition of the cruiserweights. I would do the same thing. I think it gives Raw that something special that you could use. The cruiserweights probably fit better on SmackDown than I'm thinking about it, because it is just strictly wrestling. So I'd probably have the cruiserweights on SmackDown, have the IC and the US on Raw. Though having two mid-card titles plus a cruiserweight, we might need to scrap one of those. I'm not a fan of the U.S. I would rather keep the IC, personally. So we could scrap the U.S. And then I would even with that said, the only people on rosters that are set in stone are champions. I like this idea of Seth Rollins being able to go on SmackDown, but continuing his story on Raw or on Raw. And I like the idea of Roman Reigns because there's more continuity between the stories. There's certain superstars in wrestling that people pay to watch. Roman Reigns, Cody Rhodes, Tiffany Stratton. I think having them as your top things on both brands, and then the sort of solidified part of your roster being the mid card, is how I would do it. And so your top stars are on both shows because that's what puts asses in seats. I think a lot of more of what I change would be less about the wrestling and more of just like the structure of the show. I think I would change it to a more less PG audience. Your idea of like having the Divas division back, I'm not against it, but I also don't think that's a thing that modern, like 2024 people, like audience would actually want to watch. I don't know about you. I'm not a big fan of the bikini matches in the mud or the bra and panties matches. Those were fun when you're teenagers, but I don't necessarily want to see that in modern wrestling today. I just don't think it'll sell, and I think it would be more of a hindrance to the product than anything else. And it's already happened, but the idea of developing, like reaching out to, like, indie company. This is a whole other conversation that they did today, creating sort of a platform to scout independent talent in the same way they do collegiate athletes. I'm 100% on board with doing that, and I think it's definitely I'm going to talk about that more on Friday. If you have 30 minutes, you can go listen to Junkyard James. He put out his opinion on it on the Junkyard Media group. It's in our Discord channel as well. If you want to, spend some time listening to that. But yeah, I don't really change much with the wrestling. I think a lot of it is just how you structure the show and more focus on storytelling. And I think there needs to be a focus in wrestling, but I'm more of a storyline person. So Triple H doesn't sometimes he books long term. So I would go to Triple H and be, hey, I'm not going to tell you how to book your stories other than you can't book 6 months ahead because you're not really good at filling in the gaps. You don't pace really well. His problem is pacing, because we'll get to very good storylines. It's just he goes from SummerSlam through Survivor Series, and he knows he has 4 or 5 months to do it, and he starts out hot. The middle is very, very bland, and then the week or two leading up to Survivor Series is going to be really good. And so just pacing the story progression would be the main – it would just be how he tells stories, not necessarily how – like what he does, but just pacing. Hey, don't book 6 months in advance. Let's book a month in advance. Let's go pay-per-view to pay-per-view and see where we can go from there. A little bit more edgier product, like we're getting with Seth Rollins, but we'll talk about Raw here in a minute. I'd put in my suggestion of let's do more of that. So let's go ahead and do that. Let's transition into Raw.
Wait, real quick, I forgot. One big thing that I would add to this. Oh, crap. I was just thinking because you were leaning towards it. So kind of based off the video games, kind of like based on how they try to sell us on it, how Raw and SmackDown are separate brands, separate shows that compete against each other, I kind of want to bring that into like a real life thing. So I'm giving, each show's their own separate writers, separate kind of teams. And right. Whoever has the best viewership over the course of a year, whoever puts up the best numbers is going to get bonuses. And Dwayne team gets more vacation time on the holiday. You know what I'm saying? So, some of them to strive towards. Some
it could even be like, hey, Adam Pearce or Nick Aldis, whoever has the best viewership at the end of the year, you get first pick in the draft next year or something like that. Absolutely. I would make it more realistic between considering, you know, them as teams, maybe.
But I'm legit making it like real life where it's like you guys are actually competing in real life.
Right.
Let's say like if Raw beats SmackDown's ass and has more viewership on a week-to-week basis, they're getting the bonuses in real life bonuses.
Right. It goes as far down as like the writing room. You know, hey, you can't write both shows. You have to pick, hey, you're on SmackDown. That's the only thing you're writing. Because I think a lot of times what happens is you get guys that are in the writing room and they're writing, you know, 16, 17 shows a month, and they're not 100% on each show. Whereas if you say, hey, you're only writing for SmackDown, so you're writing 4 episodes of SmackDown and then the PLE, that's all you have to write. And if you're better than what they're writing over at Raw, yeah, you get a bonus that month or whatever. Yeah, I can see that. Speaking of Raw, was not good. Just not good at all. I think a lot of this was just the bigger names were probably on an airplane getting ready to go to Saudi, you know, for media week. But even what we got, like we got some of the stars of the show that we typically get. It just felt off. Seth and Bronson Reed was one of my favorite segments, but outside of that, I mean, even like the Jimmy and Jay stuff, there's drama there. It just felt like it was sort of like put there. I also think it was kind of obvious Sammy was going to show up. To me, Dom and Damian, I'm not a big fan. Like, I don't understand why we had to tease this as, oh, Dom's facing a former world champion, and then you just give us Damian Priest. Like,
I called it last week. It's going to be Damian.
Yeah, I just – I'm not necessarily a fan of that decision. It could have just been, hey, yeah, you'll just go and fight Damian Priest. Because I was sort of expecting some sort of either like a return or, you know, Dom gets in the ring and you know, his dad comes out or something like that. Something different than the
Goldberg.
Something different than the already story that's already happening. You know, you mentioned Brock Lesnar. That would have been an interesting spot to bring him back on. there wasn't a lot of women on the show, which, I mean, I don't necessarily think it's necessarily a bad thing, but what we got wasn't good at all.
Yeah, not even damage control.
Yeah. No damage control. No stud line.
No jobber baby faces besides Zelina.
So this, it just felt sort of cashed in that we're just going to get it to Saudi and we'll start the push towards War Games when we come back. Which is a shame because you gave a really, I think, a poor showing to that Hershey crowd who. This actually brings up another point of one thing I would do that I forgot to mention. I'm lowering ticket prices. I don't understand the need to drastically price gouge.
From what I heard, it's Ticketmaster and their fees are messing a lot of stuff up.
So a lot of it is Ticketmaster, but without the fees itself. So for example, let me actually pull up. Let me get a Ticketmaster real quick. Let me pull up one of their shows.
Like, for example, the last time WWE came to Connecticut, I was going to go to one of the shows. You know, I haven't been to WWE since last year. I was going to go this summer or whatever. And Raw came into town. And for second/300 section for like those seats, those higher up seats, it was like $75 or whatever. And I was like, okay, bet I was gonna buy them. And then after the Ticketmaster fees, it was like $200. Right.
So that's a whole problem. Ticketmaster's fees are absolutely insane. But that's not just a WWE thing. That's for every concert I've ever bought. That the problem with that is a whole different story. Live Nation, who owns Ticketmaster, essentially operates all ticket sales for 90% of the stadiums in the country, and so they can charge whatever they want in fees.
Is there like some pending lawsuit against them, or like
something like that? Something like that.
Congress or something.
Yeah, people have been trying to sue Live Nation forever. But let's just use, for example, the next time they're in the States with the live show. So it's not this Friday, but next Friday, SmackDown is in Buffalo. I mean, you got like mid, like lower tier. So they have the floor seats, and then they have a 100s, 200s, and 300 section. I'm surprised they have the 300s open. The 100 sections are going for like before fees. Now, granted, this is a resale. It's $166. That's a resale, though. I'm not gonna. So what they call them, platinum seats, for whatever fucking reason. And that's the thing. WWE can go on to Ticketmaster and say this is a specialized seat. Now, I like end of the row seating. I don't like sitting in the middle of everyone. And so that last two seats on each side of the row are considered platinum seats. And so they charge more for those seats. But like $180 before the fees is absolutely insane. Lowering ticket prices, especially for like Monday Night Raw. I understand pay-per-views. Like, I'm not going to complain about Mania's prices.
Apparently, Mania is already selling better than last year.
Yeah, Mania is going to have the same issue the Super Bowl has, and it's not an issue. It's going to be more of a specialized event for the social elite, which is fine. I'd rather watch Mania at home or in a group at like a bar anyway. Preferably at home. I think in front of my TV is the best seat in the house. For a standard like PLE, like I was going to go to Bad Blood and they were charging like $190 for decent seats that weren't in the fucking nosebleeds. I wouldn't even drastically reduce the prices. It would just be something that's more favorable for the common fan. That actually not everyone has the money that green shirt guy or the dude with the Trinidad flag who goes to literally every fucking show. That'd be the other thing I do. Not much to talk about with this Raw. I don't think they gave a lot of product. I mean, sort of just I'm not expecting anything different from this Smack. I might even skip SmackDown on Friday.
Is this SmackDown? This SmackDown recorded anyway?
It's pre-taped. Yeah, it's pre-taped. So let's go into Crown Jewel. So we have 7 matches, which is a little bit different than what I expected. I expected the 5 that Triple H typically does. But considering that this is sort of Saudi's WrestleMania, 7 kind of fits that narrative. Let's start with Seth Rollins versus Bronson Reed.
I think Bronson Reed is going to win this match because I feel like, you know, Bronson's always getting that start and stop push where it's like you'll push him against like 2 or 3 jobbers and like the first real name he faces, he loses.
Right.
And also, like, you know, he's just facing Seth Rollins. I mean, not just Seth Rollins, but it's not like it's for like a world title or anything.
Right.
And it's like, and I don't think CM Punk comes back yet. I think CM Punk waits until Royal Rumble. But, you know, I see Seth and CM Punk as the next feud between those two going into Mania. But I see Bronson Reed winning this match and possibly going on to face a Gunther or a Braun Breaker. So I kind of see this as also I would see as their last match. I see this as Bronson probably wins this. Seth wins at say War Games. And then Bronson Reed wins at like say what's it called? When's that?
That Saturday night main event. Yeah.
Saturday main event where someone costs Rollins the third matchup or something like that.
Right. So that's sort of my train of thought as well. I think Bronson Reed does win. I think Seth is going to get the second one at a War Games. Maybe that one has a little bit more extreme. And then the third one at Saturday Night Main Event, I think that's where I think CM Punk gets involved. Oh God, that's an NXT alert.
Okay, so you want to see these five? Oh my! All right, we should. You're not gonna believe the six women that are standing in this locker room right now. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
The six women in this locker room. It was five, but the sixth one just walked in.
Mm-hmm.
All right. You got Kalani Jordan.
Okay.
Jordan Grace.
Okay.
Stephanie Vaquer.
Okay.
Julia.
Okay.
The new Australian girl.
Zaria. Okay.
All right, so it was just the five of them on my screen at first. The five of them.
Okay.
And guess who the hell just walked in the screen?
If it's the rumors, it's Lita.
No, it was Rhea Bloody Ripley.
It's Rhea Ripley.
Yeah.
Oh, fuck.
Why? Well, what were the rumors?
The rumors are Lita's coming back for next Wednesday at the ECW show.
Ooh. I mean, I don't know what Rhea said, but all five of them were just kind of were all being all chummy in the locker room. Rhea walked in, said some stuff, and then they're all on cool terms. Yeah, that's some talent right there. Imagine those five is the future of WWE right there.
Yeah,
those five right there. Oh my, carrying the women's division.
Jordan Grace. I don't know if you paid attention to Bound for Glory. She lost her title, so she's definitely NXT.
She's definitely NXT. I Bound for Glory. You got to tell me what was your Bound for Glory recap at the end of the show? At the
so I actually didn't watch the show. I wasn't gonna pay for that. especially with how the fucking ending happened. I don't care about you know Nick Nemeth retaining, but the fact that JBL's in the fucking cost Joe Hendry the fucking title, I don't get the point of it. But it is what it is. Joe Hendry's going to show up at the Royal Rumble and maybe win the damn thing. So no, he's not winning. But back to this here. Let's move on to the next match. Randy Orton versus Kevin Owens. This might be the match of the night.
True. Randy versus Kevin Owens. I think crap. Okay, so you know it's solid. They like to play to the crowd a little bit. I think Randy gets the win, but I think Kevin gives him like a post-match beatdown.
Okay.
And writes off Randy for a little bit.
Okay.
But what I think happens is that this builds towards Cody and Randy. Because I think during this post-match beatdown, Cody doesn't come out or he doesn't come out in time.
Right.
And so Randy's like, yo, I had your back. And like, you know, and you stopped even like talking to you even bring up what happened. And I had your back. But, you know, I get jumped. You don't get my back or a turn. I thought I knew you, kid.
All right. Next match that we got going on here who is – oh, shit. You're right. It's Randy Orton. I think Randy wins. What happens afterwards, I don't necessarily know. But it's going to be Randy that wins. U.S. title match. L.A. Knight in the triple threat. Andrade and Carmelo Hayes after, you know, LA Knight done screwed up game 7. So now we got game 7.5.
Is LA, Is LA Knight turning heel on us?
It looks like it.
But, like, a likable heel?
Yeah.
Because, like, it's like he's, you know, he's doing some heel-ass shit. But it's also against two people that, like, the crowd doesn't really care about.
Right.
So, let's see. I think LA Knight retains. Like, I want one of the other guys to win, but I think they still need to have that game seven, or, you know, unless they're having a game seven for the title. But I think LA Knight walks out. It depends what happens on SmackDown this week, because LA Knight walked out strong this past SmackDown. But, you know, I kind of still believe in whoever walks out strong doesn't really walk out with the title, kind of thing.
Right.
But I don't see them putting the title on Escobar or Carmelo at this current point. I don't think either of the two are quite over enough yet to get the title. If one of them were to win, it would be Escobar. But I think LA Knight retains.
Okay. I'm going Carmelo Hayes. I'm coming out of left field. I think Carmelo Hayes gets the win. I think they start to book him similar fashion as his NXT booking. And to do that, he needs to be that champion, that fighting champion that can prove that he needs to start hanging jerseys in the rafters like he did in NXT. And I think you start that now. I think the LA Knight effect is sort of worn off of the fans. And so I'm going Carmelo Hayes. Next match, a fatal four-way for the women's tag team champions between Lash Legend and Jakara Jackson, Piper Niven and Chelsea Green, Damage Control, and then Jade and Bianca. Who you got winning here?
Wait. Oh, okay. For some reason, I'm like, where is the witches at? But they've been on TV for a little bit, too. They've been on TV. I guess you keep the titles on Bianca and Jade. Like, unless, you know, they don't get pinned. Like, you know, unless they're not involved in a loss. But I kind of see them keeping the titles until maybe War Games. And then you kind of start branching them off for their own paths at WrestleMania. I think they hold on to them for one more PLE. Because I don't know, because who wins them? Like, I don't think. I mean, if anybody were to win them, it would be Lash Legend and Jakara Jackson. Yeah. Give me Bianca and Jade retaining for one more PLE.
I agree. I think Jade and Bianca retain.
Oh shoot! Rhea got jumped and all bloody.
Oh Jesus. We're getting extreme on NXT. I have Jade and Bianca retaining. I think Lash and Jakara will have a very good showing. I think eventually this leads to Lash and Jakara versus Jade and Bianca down the line. But what I think this also could lead to is a conversation that I'm going to have on Friday. What's the women's War Games match? You mentioned this last week that we may not have a women's one or because they haven't really teased the story. I think we could get that match from these competitors. I think it'll eventually end up becoming Jade and Bianca with Jakara and Lash versus Damage Control and Piper Niven and Chelsea Green. I think that's where we could build to that. I don't want it to be that personally. I'll tell you what I want on Friday. But yeah, Jade and Bianca are winning this match.
Like, when it comes to like that lineup, I just think the star power is too one sided.
Yeah,
and it's not, you know, saying like you know, a lot of people, you know, because the Damage Control was in War Games last year. And they don't have the same momentum that they did last year. And Piper and Chelsea, especially like Chelsea, they really give me War Games vibes. Because the problem is like, well, War Games is like all eight women are going to be like attacking each other week in, week out. And so, like, you know, Adam Pearce gets fed up and says, you know what you guys want? You guys, you said, listen, War Games. Like, no, like, I can't see the aggressiveness getting to a level to where they put them in that match. Mm-hmm. So that's why I think we're getting Final Testament versus the Howdies or the Wyatt Six or whatever. And then I think we're getting the SmackDown, we're getting Bloodline versus Bloodline 2.0.
Yeah, I like that idea. And I'll actually discuss that further. I have a way that we could do a women's one that doesn't involve these eight. And I'll discuss that on Friday. Let's move on to the two matches that everyone's not wanting to watch.
First of all, I'm ready for this. I'm ready for this Liv Morgan and Nia Jax match.
That is going to be the one we're predicting. Liv Morgan, Nia Jax for the Crown Jewel Blood Money Championship. Who you got?
Here's what happens, all right? Here's what happens. You got Tiffany Stratton cashes in, turns into a triple threat match.
I don't want it to be a triple threat because it's technically for the there's a title at stake here that's like a significant.
But hear me out though. Here's what I'm saying. I think Tiffany Stratton cashes in for the big money belt, and then that way they kind of work around her getting the belt versus the Nia thing. And I think she wins the belt off of Nia cleanly down the line.
So my problem with that is the big Saudi belt is technically not going to be defended.
No, I know, but it fits her character though, because it's like what, $9.5 million belt or something like that.
I get it, but at the same time, like that to me, that feels like a really bad way to use a Money in the Bank. It's to me that would be worse than Austin Theory cashing in for the U.S. title, because this belt literally has no meaning. We may never see this title again. Knowing how WWE likes to throw ideas out, and then we never see them. Like we did the sort of, you know, the greatest Royal Rumble, and they built a whole title for it. Braun Strowman won it. We haven't seen that title since then. And so For this being sort of like a Super Bowl-esque event, I don't want that being cashed in for. I think that's a really crappy way to end the Money in the Bank.
So you think Tiffany holds off on the cash in another?
No, I think Nia Jax wins this match. I think she's going to celebrate with the big title. Tiffany's in the corner, maybe, or, you know, behind her. I think Tiffany cashes in after the match for the actual title. While Nia's celebrating the bigger title, Tiffany hits her with the briefcase from behind. The ref's already standing in the ring. She cashes in, and we get the bell rung. We get Tiffany doing the little moonsault move finisher, and we end it that way. I think she's cashing in. But not on the big belt. I don't think she needs to cash in for this crown jewel belt. She's cashing in for the real thing.
Now, what are the odds that she doesn't cash in at all, and she cashes in?
I think it's a 50-50 shot. I think because in 2 weeks, at 2 weeks after, so on the 15th of November, that's
her hometown, right?
It's going to be in Wisconsin. Yeah, it's going to be in Milwaukee. So I think if she doesn't cash in at Crown Jewel, that's where she's cashing it. Unless they hold off till the Saturday night show, which I don't think they do. I think she walks into that as champion.
No, let's say Tiffany doesn't cash in. Who do you think wins between Nia and Liv?
I still think even without a cash in, Nia is winning.
Okay. Yeah, I'll say for the record, I think Nia wins also without the cash in.
Now let's go to the one match no one really gives a fuck about, and that's Cody Rhodes and Gunther. This is gonna be a banger of a match. Like, I'm not critiquing the match itself. The build to it's been boring. But the whole reasoning I'm against this match is just because the title means nothing, and all of that to say, I think Cody Rhodes is gonna win. I think Gunther is, I don't know, I can't see them having Cody Rhodes take an L here. I just can't, unless there's like nefarious means, like the bloodline getting involved, but the bloodline's in a match now, so I can't see them getting involved in this. So, what do you say?
The bloodline's not in the match, are they?
Yeah, they named it after...
The six-man match. Okay. Well, I mean, Solo can still, I guess, get involved, or maybe The Rock. Not The Rock gets involved, but there's maybe
right.
Rock comes out post-show. I don't know. I still think somebody interferes. It's just because this match going to be the main event? I mean, have they announced the card order?
They haven't announced the order yet. I'm assuming the Bloodline match main event.
Oh, yeah. He
I'm assuming Cody Rhodes and Gunther will probably start the show. And the only other thing I could see starting would be the Fatal 4-Way for the women's tag team. Those are the two matches I think may start.
I think Cody and Gunther start, and I think Cody wins. And you know, as Cody's like celebrating his fucking RV or whatever, wherever he's stationed at, later on, that's when the Randy KO stuff happens, and then Randy gets attacked post show,
right?
And then Randy's like, "Yeah, while you're all celebrating your big title win, you left me me out here to get attacked."
So, last match, Roman Reigns, Jey Uso, Jimmy Uso versus the Bloodline. I'm assuming Solo's in the match. And then it's two of the other. I'm assuming it's going to be Solo, Jacob, and Tama Tonga. That's typically how they run when they fight. That's typically the three that wrestle.
I'm thinking they might do Solo and the Tongas.
And Jacob's on the outside?
Yeah.
Yeah,
I think it's definitely the Tongas, and you're gonna be Solo or Jacob. I think it's gonna be Solo.
Like, I could see that as well. Roman's winning. Roman and the Usos are winning. So I think two things are gonna happen, or three things are gonna happen here. The first is we're getting the other Tongan. I've always said from the beginning, when Hikuleo, who will become Tala Tonga, when he signed and it was official that it was going to happen at Crown Jewel, because he lives in Japan, it's closer travel, you can sort of hide him out there, and I think it's easier to debut him. I think that'll happen at this show. Not 100% guaranteed, but I think it will. Sami Zayn's going to play a part in this. And I think it's going to be, he's going to come out, he's going to stare down Roman, and he's going to sort of embrace Roman. I think the whole tease leaving Monday Night Raw with him talking to Solo and them, that adds some tension, that adds some drama, but I think it may be, hey, leave Jay and them alone. I think that was a ploy to sort of create peace. And I think what we'll later find out is Solo said no. And so Sami Zayn, being the Saudi sort of superhero that he is, he comes out. His music hits, biggest pop of the night. Because I also think The Rock shows up. But The Rock's going to show up in support of Solo. I think we start to build the seeds towards Roman versus Rocket Mania. We still need a Roman. Has Roman faced Solo one-on-one yet?
No,
I don't think he has. So we'll still need a Roman Solo, and we'll still need a Rumble. And then we'll still need a Roman Jacob. I think one of them happens in December. At the Saturday night main event, and the other one's going to happen at Rumble. And then that sort of sets up Roman versus Rock at Mania. And so I think all of that starts at this match. I don't know what The Rock's going to really do. I think he tries to play a part in terms of Sammy's going to help Roman win, and then I think that's when The Rock comes out is post-match. Maybe to stare down Roman, which then leads to a beatdown of the group. I don't know. Well, The Rock's going to be there, though. And I do think Roman and the Usos do pull off the W.
So I'm on the other side of the ship. I think Bloodline 2.0 wins. I think Solo and his crew win because of interference from, you know, either whoever's on the outside, slash Tala Tonga, you know, so like, you know, the whole Bloodline 2.0 team, you know, so that's what I think wins. And then what I think happens is post match, you know, after the win, they're beating down on the Usos and Roman.
Okay.
And that's what
Sammy. I thought of that as well. Yeah, I thought of that as well.
And then after Sammy comes down to make the save, you know, the Bloodline 2.0 is standing at the top, you know, at the top of the entrance. And then that's where The Rock's music hits. And The Rock comes out. He's on stage with his full faction of the Bloodline 2.0. Okay, at that point, if Tala Tonga comes out, The whole squad is there. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
You got Rock, Tala, Solo, Jacob, the Tongans. But even that though, I don't think they need Tala Tonga though, because if you're looking at Survivor Series, right? Survivor Series War Games, who's gonna be the odd man out the cage? Tala Tonga? Maybe on the outside causing mayhem? Because typically War Games is 4-on-4.
That's what I was thinking. I don't know. I don't necessarily know how. That's why my entire thinking was, because I can also see a situation where Jacob's on the outside, Tala Tonga shows up, and Jacob turns on Solo. But with Jay in the group, and Jay sort of going after Jacob and his promo last Friday.
Yeah.
I think that sort of shoots that down. So I don't know if we're going to maybe do a five man this year. I think Triple H is going to play around with War Games and not do it as sort of traditional.
Well, the problem is on the original Bloodline side, you got Roman, the Usos, and Sammy. There's not really a fifth person you could add from like the OG Bloodline. I mean, unless you want to add in like a Zilla or something, but then I feel like that throws off the story a little bit.
Yeah.
I think Roman, Sammy, and the Usos. So
a lot of people are saying it's going to be Cody. That Cody sort of
Crown Jewel is like the official start to where Cody is fully split from the story.
I hope so.
He only gets reintroduced when it's time for him to like deal with The Rock at some point,
right?
But like, I feel like Cody, like, they need to like kind of delve away from that.
To that point, I think he can get reintroduced at Mania, where maybe he comes out after Roman beats him, or maybe The Rock beats Roman. Who knows? And then Cody can come out at Mania and call out The Rock and say, "Hey, we got business. We need to finish."
Mm.
And that can lead to SummerSlam. And so. Cody needs to be away from the War Games match, though. I'm fine with Tala Tonga waiting, maybe till later.
Well, I think Tala Tonga comes out at Crown Jewel. Okay. But I think as far as the War Games match, he's just outside, like not in the match.
Yeah, maybe.
Or maybe he's in the match and Solo's the one not in the match. Solo's like directing traffic, like he's the mastermind of it. has his goons doing the work.
Right. I could see that. Yeah. All right. Let's get to questions from the Discord. On the same topic, B-Master asked the question, when do we think the wise man comes back? That's tough. I don't know. Part of me hopes we see him next Wednesday at the NXT show, since it's in the ECW arena.
I doubt he shows up just because he has been on TV. I feel like if he was on TV already, he would show up. But so I think as far as him showing up, I think he shows up after War Games because I see the Bloodline 2.0, like the new Bloodline.
Okay.
Scratch that. I think he shows up in between Crown Jewel and War Games because I think original Bloodline gets beat at Crown Jewel and it takes the Wise Men to get them back together on the same page.
Mm-hmm.
That's overcome them at War Games.
I'm going to do you one a little bit better. I think he comes back at the Saturday night main event. It's in Long Island, which is, you know, he's not from there. He's from New York City, but it's close enough. It's sort of like a hometown show. There's going to be some sort of Bloodline thing there. I think you could have like Rock as like the wise man. As much as I want it to be Rikishi to be the wise man for Solo's group, I don't think that happens. I think The Rock eventually, I think at Crown Jewel, comes out and is sort of like the guy pulling the strings for the new Bloodline. And we'll find out that he was the one that told Solo to turn. And so I think Paul Heyman, he'll be back before the new year because we'll need him as part of the Netflix deal. So I think Saturday night main event could be a great place to sort of bring him in. That's going to be my answer. His next question, really, he has some good questions this week. Tell me who you think is the greatest faction of all time and why.
I think it's the Undisputed Era because they just defined an era of amazing wrestling and generational matches. Not joking. Greatest faction of all time. Maybe like the Bullet Club or maybe FTR and the Bucks. I mean the Bucks and Kenny Omega and Tony Khan them. You know what I'm saying? No, okay. Oh, real answers. Okay, real answers. Greatest faction of all time. I think Evolution is probably the easiest answer. Oh, just because literally that team was just dripping in world championships. You know what I'm saying? Every member of that group is a first ballot Hall of Famer, if not two times over or three times over. Triple H is literally like a four-time Hall of Famer. He's a Hall of Famer just for D-Generation X, for Evolution, on his own. Ric Flair, he's a Four Horsemen Hall of Famer, his own career in Evolution, Randy Orton, Evolution, his own career, Batista, same thing. Evolution, I think, is, you know, like, they weren't around for the longest of time either. What, they had like a two-year run?
Before they split? Yeah, before all the drama. What I remember Evolution most about is the drama, the Batista turn, eventually the Randy Orton turn. So.
And their splits and their drama created two superstars.
Right,
you know what I'm saying, and I think Evolution has a right at that name. In modern wrestling, well, not I know Evolution is modern wrestling, but in more recent WWE, it might not be a popular answer, but I think the Authority was a good faction. They were, you know, like just the
corporate. So Seth Rollins version or just Triple H?
No, the Seth Rollins version. It was like Seth, Randy, Orton, Kane, Big Show, the freaking J&J Security, Triple H, Stephanie. Like, you know, the Authority just, you know, doing what's best for business.
Right.
And just being like the corporate asshole, like
no cap,
holding down everyone.
No cap. Without that faction, we don't get Daniel Bryan.
Yep.
Daniel Bryan, you know, WrestleMania 30 only happened because of that fact. I think that faction gets looked down upon because a lot of people hate on that era of wrestling a lot. Mm-hmm. But that's right when I was starting to get in and back into wrestling. And yeah, I think without that faction, you don't get Daniel Bryan. So I don't know. For me, I look at this question in terms of eras. And so I got to put the four horsemen on there. I consider Evolution, consider DX, consider NWO, but I just keep coming back to the Four Horsemen. I think as far as like pure wrestling and that was maybe like the most dominant faction of all time. Now, granted, it was the 70s and the 80s, so not a lot of character work, mostly just in-ring. But I think every single one, Tully Blanchard may be the weakest of the group, but you had stars like Flair, Arn was really good. And so I'm going to go Four Horsemen, even though it's way beyond any of our time. But if we're going like modern generation, I got to go NWO. I think they completely changed wrestling. I think without the NWO, I'll give this credit to Bischoff. Without the NWO, the Attitude Era doesn't happen. Because the Attitude Era was completely in response to the NWO.
So some love for non-WWE factions. Shout out to Main Event Mafia and Aces and Eights.
Yeah.
For TNA factions. Team Canada. Mm. But definitely Main Event Mafia.
AEW, I mean, I'm not going to say greatest of all time because it's still... AEW is only 5 years old, but Moxley's faction right now has Blackpool
Combat Club
that has the potential of being a very, very good faction.
The New Day.
That's what I was going to ask. Are we going to consider New Day a tag team or a faction? Because there's technically three.
They're a faction.
Okay, I could see that. I could see that for sure. We got to consider the Bloodline, of course. I don't think they've reached greatest yet. I think in terms of like storytelling, maybe, but in terms of like accolades,
As far as accolades, you got the longest reigning champion in modern history and the longest reigning tag team champions of all time.
I just feel like it's still too soon to consider them the greatest of all time. When their careers are done, absolutely. But I think that's just like a recency bias that we look at them and say, I don't want to give them their flowers while they're still wrestling. They deserve it, but let's wait till they retire before we put them in the Hall of Fame.
3MB.
Look.
Drew McIntyre, Jinder Mahal, WWE Champions, Heath Slater.
Should have been a WWE champion.
Exactly.
Tag team champion with now TNA Hall of Famer Rhino.
Exactly.
Let's move on to his third question. What are some of your favorite rivals? Any promotion, any era? This one's probably the hardest of the ones you asked because I don't actually have a very good memory of the past and where I can just go. Like if you ask this question to Cody would answer this like an encyclopedia. He can remember everything. I don't have that type of memory.
Me personally, you know, I haven't had the luck of being a wrestler, so I don't personally have any rivals. I wasn't in any promotions, me personally.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So I don't have any rivals. I mean, if he's asked me what was my favorite rivalries, as a fan.
I feel you. I feel you. Yeah. What were some of your favorite rivalries? Yeah.
So some of my favorite rivalries, you know, as a wrestling fan, you know, Ray and Eddie.
Yeah.
Cena Orton. Cena Edge. Looking back, Abyss and Sabu and TNA had like hardcore matches like every other week. Mm. You're literally having like barbed wire death matches on like free TV every other week. Let's see. Main Event Mafia in the TNA roster. Let's see. Oh, DX and the Spirit Squad, DX and Rated RKO. DX versus Vince McMahon. That was a great rivalry. Rey Mysterio versus Batista when they broke up.
Mm.
Usos and New Day. Because it's also under Vince McMahon, who wasn't the biggest of tag team wrestling guys.
Right.
Was putting these guys on PLEs, pay-per-views, right. Like putting on bangers of matches.
Right, and this was at the same time where like the Usos could hardly ever get on Mania.
Exactly.
That's how little he cared about his greatest tag team of all time.
Becky Charlotte.
Yeah.
Becky Belair.
Yeah.
Lita Trish.
Lita Trish is a good one.
Trish Becky.
I think Sasha Banks Bayley NXT was a good feud.
Matt Riddle and Seth Rollins. Seth Rollins or Mysterio during the pandemic. If you want to go back and see some like
crazy ass shit.
Yeah, some crazy shit and like some decent promos.
They were just throwing shit at the wall during the pandemic.
Bro,
Mysterio, a lot of it was funny. Rey Mysterio gets thrown off a building and then comes back and gets his eyeball fucking plucked out.
Also, during the pandemic is when we saw the debut of Dominic when he wrestled Seth Rollins or Buddy Murphy in a street fight or something like that.
That pandemic era is highly underrated.
Never mind. I stopped watching during the pandemic. I kind of stopped watching when they were in the Thunderdome. So I missed out on like Bayley doing the best, like some of her best character work. I missed out on the Bayley Sasha like women's division dominance. I missed out on that stuff. Ray and Dom, a great rivalry. There's some great rivalries out there. B-Master, there's some great ones.
Let's move on to his last question. Do you think they are rushing the Bloodline story by having Jey Uso lose the IC title so quickly just for him to join his brother when 2 weeks ago they didn't want anything to do with each other? My answer in short is no. I don't think people recognize how close we are to War Games. We literally have 3 weeks.
I think they could have had Jey win the title sooner.
I think that's the issue. Is he could have won it sooner? But if the Bloodline shit has to, and this is what I was talking about with Triple H and his buildups. He gives us what we want at the beginning of a story, really, really, really bad, and then he's sort of back against the wall. We need to get to the storyline. We got to start booking real quick. Now he has to book super quickly. At the end of a story. And so we're 3 weeks away from War Games. And so you needed Jey to lose the title so that he can go cost the Bloodline the tag titles that Friday so that they can come out and Jey and Jimmy can embrace again on Raw so that Sammy can get involved in the story. So you have to move quick now.
Go ahead.
I don't think they're rushing anything. this is just the natural progression now.
Okay, after Chad Gable, instead of doing the Sami Zayn getting the IC title win,
right,
you could have had Jay do it then.
Right.
You know, Jay loses it to Braun Breaker. He could have won it back one more time or whatever.
Right, right.
And then did the loss again. I think, you know, the reason it feels rushed
is because not Jay's
title reign was almost 2 weeks. But.
Right. And it's, or not even that. Instead of having Jay flirt around with Rhea, that wasn't going to lead to anything. Have him win the title a month ago. Have him have a month and a half long reign, and then have him lose the title. I think
King of Ring of anything.
Right. I think if anything, it's he won the title too late, and so now we're 3 weeks away from needing the bloodline back together. So now you got to start doing things that make no sense, like giving him the title for 2 weeks.
If anything, Jay Uso.
But I also think. Yeah. I also think a lot of this is also WWE saying we just came off a 600-day reign with Gunther. We need to start having more champions in the next 6 months so that they're adding to the title reigns. I think they're going to play hot potato with that. I think Braun Breaker may keep it till – I don't know. I'm still just in the mindset that he's going to be in the world title picture when they get to Netflix. I don't know how they get there now with him being champion again. Unless Bronson Reed takes it off of him, that'll be interesting to see. But no, I don't think that's necessarily rushing the story. I think they have to rush the story, if anything, because Triple H has booked it so slowly up to this point. All right, let's transition to Thirsty Tuesday. The pictures have already been uploaded. So let's go over the last.
We already got some votes in here. We already got three voters.
Well, we got some voters already. Look, where were y'all at when I needed you last week to break this tie? It's all right. If y'all didn't see the updated bracket, the winners last week were Scarlett Johansson. It technically was a tie, but there's no way in the world I'm going to accept Junkyard James's vote of Angel Reese. When Scarlett Johansson is worlds better than Angel Reese. I love Angel Reese, but there's no world where Scarlett Johansson is better than Angel Reese. Alona Mayer pulls out an upset over Miranda Cosgrove. Bebe Rexha beats Janae Aiko, and then Vanessa Hudgens beats Mila Kunis. So the last four matchups of this first round, for Team We Too Deep, we got Jennifer Lopez. For Team Wavy D, Ariana Grande. Why should people vote Ariana Grande?
I mean, it's already looked like a sweep. We already got three votes for Jennifer. I don't know. I mean, I feel like Ariana Grande. I mean, I think people are not taking them for what they're looking like right now or what they're worth now. You know what I'm saying? Jennifer Lopez, I feel like people have nice, like, memories of her. But I feel like right now, Jennifer Lopez ain't all that. Also, remember, she's, like, allegedly, like, into, like, sex crimes. Because, you know, P. Diddy and all that stuff. Ariana Grande, you know what I'm saying? She looked nice. She looked cute. Was she Mexican? Was she look black? Was she look white? Was she look Puerto Rican? all shades of Ariana Grande are bad. Jennifer Lawrence, Drake said it best in his song Draft Day by Johnny Manziel. Jennifer Lawrence, you can really get it. He said, I'm on my Hunger Games shit. Jennifer Lawrence, you can really get it. So shout out to Jennifer Lawrence, ultimate baddie.
Right, but Jennifer Lawrence, you know, she was considered for my list, but the wheel didn't give her a great matchup. She's facing a Bella Danger. Now, I typically say to everyone watching, do your research. And that's still going to be my message because this should be an X-rated audience. You shouldn't be under 18 watching this show anyway. We're not for you. Sorry. Do your research smartly here. Don't get caught. That's just my message. Don't come back and blame me or Wavy D for having to explain to your mom why a Bella Danger or the next matchup when Tiana Trump is in your search history. Don't come back and blame me. Y'all the ones that typed it in.
So I think Bella Danger is only getting votes for her for her history, her work, her work ethic. You know what I'm saying? I think if we're basing purely off of looks, I think Jennifer Lawrence got her beat.
Now, I think what's unfair, I'm going to be honest with you. You chose a good picture, but you didn't choose, like, I can't really showcase everything. It's sideways. So, like, she's laying down. And so if you would have chosen something where, like, she was exposed, because I realized something with our voters here, especially, like, B-Master. I'm going to call you out here, and it's not a bad thing, but, like, B-Master, like, if he sees titties, he's going to vote for it.
Yeah.
And so I think our viewership and the people who are voting they're not really looking at it the way, like, because I'll be honest, of the two, probably I would go with Abella Danger. I do think she's better looking, but Jennifer Lawrence, and I, like, a lot of people are just looking at the pictures I post. That's why I say do your research. The next matchup for Team Wavy D, Tiana Trump versus Haley Steinfeld. If y'all don't know who she is, she's an actor, musician. I think she was in which one of those, like the second of the, I don't even remember the name of the movie anymore. Fuck. Anyway, you can just go look her up. She's fine. Here's my thing with Tiana Trump. I don't think she's, I don't find, even in her work, I don't find her attractive at all.
I think it's a personality thing. When you watch her doing like side content, like her YouTube stuff.
I forgot what podcast she was on the other day where she was like dressed up, like not necessarily like, she wasn't a porn star then. Like, of course, obviously she is, but like she was a little bit like in normal people, like relaxed clothes. She looked kind of attractive. And as a person, like, I respect the personality argument, because that's my thing. I'm going to be 100%. These four of my picks here, this is strictly off looks for 99% of this round, or at least these four. And then the last round of the matchups, my childhood crush, Kate Upton. I was in a complete fantasy with this woman. The picture that I chose, if you guys go look at it, my favorite picture of her, and it's from Bose. I think it's like a water company. And they did an ad thing on YouTube back when, like, there wasn't a lot of ads on social media, but all the commercials you could find on YouTube. And it was essentially like an eye contest thing. And, you know, obviously you're going to stare at her titties. And they actually did a challenge with her where, like, if you could do an eye contest in last 10 seconds, you won like $1 million. No one ever won it. I don't blame them. But I had to choose this photo. Again, when I know our voting base, when they see titties, they vote for it. But she's going up against Zendaya, and I love Zendaya.
So what you're telling me is you picked an outdated picture.
She don't really model anymore. She's the only thing Kate Upton does right now is watch her husband throw baseballs.
I'm just saying, go to the IG, the Facebook. You know what I'm saying? I pick some of the most updated pictures for my women. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Zendaya. Zendaya is a crush as well, especially in these Spider-Man movies. Especially in these Spider-Man movies. Yes.
I will say that this is probably your strongest four that you brought to bat so far. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
a couple of your rounds, you had a couple sleepers in there, you know, saying like your Caitlin Clarks, your Angela Reese's, a couple sleepers in there.
Yeah,
this is a strong four for you.
Okay, now, if the voting stands as it is right now, this is a sweep for me. I think that puts us at equal. I think, or I'm like up two. Either way, we'll see. Y'all have till Friday. On Friday, I'll announce the winners. How we're going to do round two, I haven't really announced this. How we're going to do round two, any of the matchups where it's still me versus Wavy D, which there are still some for round two, we won't vote. We won't vote at all. It'll be Discord only. On the matchups where it's like a We Too Deep versus a We Too Deep or a Wavy D versus a Wavy D, we'll vote in the Discord with everyone else. We won't we won't say our vote here, but we'll talk about the matchups, but we won't say our winners. We'll vote in the Discord with everyone else. But with that, any final words heading into Crown Jewel? It is a special start time, 1 p.m. Eastern time. I'm going to have to watch it later that night. I'm not really worried about missing anything, to be honest with you, unless The Rock and all of that shows up, which it'll be fine.
I'll be at the casino at the hotel. Yeah. So, you know, because we're going up this weekend for my boy's birthday. So right. I'll be up there Friday and Saturday night. So Saturday, I'll be chilling in the hotel. We're bringing a Roku stick for the TV.
Nice.
And we're probably going to go grab some lunch, bring it back. I'll have some boys with me and watch some wrestling with some casuals / less than casuals.
Right. If it's a slow day at work, I may turn it on the computer, but I highly doubt it's going to be slow. Anyway, any final words as we head in to Crown Jewel this week?
Wavy D, baby. Boom.
All right. With that, tune in Friday. We got a juicy episode for you Friday. I'm going to tell you guys, I'm going to give my opinion on the new WWE Independent Development Program. We're going to talk about being a professional in pro wrestling and making pro wrestling professional again.
Stop hating on Samantha Irvin.
See Wavy D gonna not like that segment. We're going to talk about my thoughts on Halloween Havoc. We'll talk about some other a lot more stuff as well. It's gonna be a really good episode. Tune in Friday when that posts. The quickest way to know when it posts: like, share, subscribe. If you're on audio, click follow or subscribe depending on the platform you're on. You'll get notified as soon as the episode is up. But other than that, don't forget the affiliate links in the description. And outside of that, we hope you guys have a great rest of your night. Have a great week and hope you enjoy Crown Jewel. Until then, we'll see you on the next one.
So hit that subscribe, come along for the ride. AEWWE, we're always on side. From fantasy booking to baddies that slay, slapping meat wrestling every Tuesday.